Well, hello everybody once again on November 16th, 2011. That was a little abrupt. I apologize for that. November 16th, 2011. I'm Larry Jacobs, and you're listening to Education Talk Radio on a very rainy afternoon here outside of Boston, Massachusetts. I just looked up out of my office. I've been concentrating on the computer, and I notice everybody's windshield wipers are going like crazy, and it is really pouring out. So at any rate, we have a show scheduled now for you, and we were. I hope they call in. They have not called in yet. We have two guests calling from two separate places. We have my friend and good buddy Scott Elliott, for the president of SEG Measurement. He's going to be calling in. He's going to talk about some of the work that he's done, okay, with a company called Tech for Learning, and their CEO and president, David Wagner, is going to, actually he's their president, is going to be coming on and talking how he used Scott's methods of assessment to determine whether or not his new Pixie software was working. I don't know if they're going to call. It's odd that two people would not be able to call, but things, oh, wait, we have, I see we have David there. He just came on. Okay, and I'll bring him on in just a second. David, just hang tight for a second. David's going to talk to us about the impact of Pixie software, and I want to talk to him about several things that I picked up off his website. And the key to this show, and this is something that I said many times over the air, okay, is that this industry, the education industry, works very hard to make sure that the products that you use in your classrooms work. And one of the companies that they use to assess what they're doing is Scott Elliott's company, SEG. So when a company like Tech for Learning hires a company like Scott's, they're doing this, A, obviously, to make sure that their product works, but B, they're doing it for you. And I think it's important that you understand how this industry works. And I can speak to it generically, but I got somebody better, and that's David Wagner here. And David, I'm going to bring you on. Are you there?
I'm here. How you
How
doing,
are you,
Larry?
David, I'm Larry Jacobs, and it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Well, thank you very much. And I was going to make a joke about Scott. Scott, he's not with us yet, but I'm sure he'll be calling in. Scott's company is just outside of Philadelphia, and I was going to make a joke that it's always sunny in Philadelphia, but it's always sunnier where you are in gorgeous San Diego.
Yes, it is, and it is a gorgeous day today.
As my friend who lives there says, it's always room temperature.
Yes, absolutely. We've got the easiest job for a weatherman in the world.
Boy, you do, and I'll tell you what a terrific, great city that is. If people haven't been there, I can't imagine that, but if people haven't been there, they really ought to get down there and check it out. It's just such a nice city, and the Navy Yard's there, and the ocean, the mountains, God almighty, it's perfect California. What part of the city are you in?
I live in the company's base just about in the center of the city. We aren't in downtown, but we're just outside it, right by Qualcomm Stadium when the Chargers play.
Absolutely. Is that also where the Padres play, or are they next
the
door?
The Padres don't. They have their own stadium downtown.
Okay, so you're next to the Chargers stadium.
We're right next to where the Chargers play.
And just to ask you, is that near that Gaslight District?
Nope, that's where the Padres are.
That's where the Padres got the two stadiums mixed up in my head.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no
Very
problem.
Good.
Yeah,
well,
the Qualcomm's the old stadium.
Got it. Well, that's okay. The Chargers, they're a good team. They just don't seem to be scoring the touchdowns they need, you know?
Yeah, they'll bring it together. They always do.
They'll bring it together. They always do. They've always been a favorite team of mine. I guess it's that California dream and from the East Coast. And I always like the lightning bolt on their helmets. So we'll leave it at that for good. Right. All right. Tell me, David, and let me just tell people what Tech for Learning is, okay? Tech for Learning is a leading developer of productivity software tools for students, empowering students to construct their knowledge and then share what they have learned. And that's a key word. The website is techforlearning.com, but the four is literally the number four, techforlearning.com. And as you listen to our show, ladies and gentlemen, please go over there, check it out, because it's a pretty cool website. And again, we're talking to the president of the company, David Wagner, and I think my friend Scott Elliott will be joining us sometime soon. But at the beginning here, David, tell me about Tech for Learning. What is it, and then who uses your services?
Okay, no problem. Tech for Learning is, like you said, an educational software company. We do make a suite of productivity tools. We actually started back in 1999 as a project-based learning company doing professional development and consulting services with school districts on technology integration.
Mm-hmm.
We morphed into a software company when we discovered that one of our biggest hurdles to success was actually the software tools we were trying to use with people. we decided, you know, the easiest way to solve this problem was by actually going out and creating our own tools specifically designed for students doing project work across the curriculum. And
cool.
Today, our software...
At the beginning, were you just consulting in California, or were you going nationwide?
Actually, we were consulting nationwide.
People
who founded Tech for Learning, we'd been in the industry. By that time, we'd all been in the industry for almost 10 years, had a lot of contacts when we started the company. And so we were doing work anywhere from the East Coast, a lot of work in Maryland and Virginia, over here in California, down in Florida and Texas when we first got started.
And actually, a lot of the states you mentioned are the hot states, obviously, for technology, so this makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, especially in 98, 99 when we got started.
Exactly.
And now our software is...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Now our software is used in about 25,000 schools around the world.
Wow. Look, give me an idea of some of the unusual countries it might be in, besides the U.S.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got a contract with the government in Poland. We localize our software into Polish, and it's used in schools throughout the country there. We've got a province-wide contract in Ontario, Canada. We're used there.
Mm-hmm.
We're used in Argentina, down in Australia, Singapore, India, all over the place. We've actually got a contract with the United States Department of Defense for their school system. So we're used in 220 schools around the world.
Well, that's wonderful, and I'm thrilled the Department of Defense is using it, because that's where a lot of our considering what the parents go through, I hope we're putting a lot of money and energy and time and the best stuff into the Department of Defense schools, because those kids move around a lot, et cetera. Okay, interesting. Now, when a school district, I assume it's a district sale that you folks make, as opposed to a school by school sale, or how's it work?
We sell both. We do school-by-school selling as well as district selling. It depends really on how an organization makes their purchasing. So places like Maryland, where they purchase for the most part at a district level, we sell at the district level. In California, where a lot of schools buy individually or their charter schools, we sell that way.
Right. Very good. What about private schools? Are you in private schools as well? Independent schools?
We do a lot of business with the independent schools and private schools. We've got several products that they find quite interesting.
That's cool. We're going to talk specifically, although you're welcome to talk about any of your software, we're going to talk specifically about your Pixie software today. Okay? And I want to learn more about its impact on student achievement. Yeah, I wanted to ask you as we continue the conversation, because people can always go to your website. Let me give that again, tech4learning.com. But they can also see you live and in color. Can I ask what conferences that you go to, just so people know in case they're planning to go to those?
Right. Oh, it's a huge list. We do
I'm sure it is every year.
So
try to keep in mind we only have 45 minutes, but give us the big ones or just some of the big
ones. Right, exactly. You can find us at all the major educational technology conferences. So you'll find us at ISTE, at California Q, Texas's TCEA, Florida's FETC, the MSET conference in Maryland, VISTE in Virginia. So pretty much we'll be at your statewide educational technology conferences as well as the national ones.
Okay, do you go to, like, I'll just make up a couple of other ones, like NSTA, the curriculum ones, or like NSTA might be, or that's Science Teachers, by the way, or National Catholic, NCEA, those. You go to any of those?
We do some of those. It depends year to year which ones we're doing.
And how many, I have to ask, how many conventions do you think you do a year?
In a busy year, we've done up to 60, and a slow year is probably closer to 20.
Wow, 60 is more than one a week. That's a lot of time on the road. But you know, it's important because our audience is spread all over the place, and it's important that they know that you do go to these shows and that they can come and see you. And I always tell people, when you go to the conventions, conferences, if there's an exhibit hall, go in there, because not only will you probably get a bunch of goodies and candy, but you'll also actually see these products and have the time to play with them and understand them, et cetera, et cetera. It's really important to do that. And the exhibitors, like I always say, help support the conference so that it's a win-win for everybody. You would agree with that, David, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the exhibit hall is a fantastic place to get your one-on-one questions answered, where you can ask sort of feedback questions and not just sort of fire off a one-off email and hope to get a response. It gives you a chance to ask a question, ask follow-up, and be able to really get the answers you need.
And you will be at the Florida Educational Technology Conference, you just said, so I'll see you there. That's in late January.
Great.
Okay, so that's good. I just wanted to get that over so people could understand it. All right, let's concentrate for a minute on – we can take more than a minute. I didn't mean it that way. On Pixie, okay?
Okay.
Pixie is a tech for learning software product, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
Pixie's
a productivity tool for elementary students. So kids use it to explore the curriculum by creating essentially their own products with art, text, voice recording. They can then turn these into print, turn them into videos, podcasts, post them online, basically be able to take their ideas, turn them into content and products, and be able to share those.
When you say turn them into products, what do you mean?
It's basically students creating their own content. So they start with a blank screen. To that, they bring their own images. They bring their own paintings. They add their own text. They record their own voice. And they're basically creating their own videos, creating print materials to be able to show off at home, be able to create, like I said, podcasts or websites. So instead of using, you know, drill and kill software where the content is already created for them and they're working through this, the students are able to basically take ideas and information and turn them into something.
This is pretty cool. This is pretty cool stuff. What's the feedback that you're getting from that?
We get a lot of
feedback.
And
how new is it? Let me ask that question, too. How new is Pixie?
Sure. Pixie's been around for – we're on version 3. Pixie's been around for about 5 years now. It actually had sort of an evolution very similar to our company. When we first started making software, some of our first tools we found that educators were using in primary grades, even though we weren't designing for them for that. And so they were working – kind of, but since the tool wasn't designed exactly for their needs, they were sometimes struggling through it. So we decided to create a tool exactly for them. So it was based on feedback from our other tools, based on a feedback loop with a lot of our user base, and we created this software specifically for them to be able to use in the classroom.
This is very cool. What do they need to make it work? Okay, they get software from you. Does every kid need a computer? Do they go to computer labs? What's the general thing?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you can work with it in a computer lab. You can do it in a one-to-one environment. You can use it in a station environment. If people have, you know, four or five computers in their classroom, they can have students collaborate on projects. If they have a one-to-one environment, they can still have students collaborate, but they can all work real-time on the same project, even though they're on multiple computers. So
this
the kids
is nice.
One kid can be working on adding the text, another student can be doing the voice recording, another student can be adding the images, or they could each be working on different pages of their project at the same time.
And it's all self-contained. It's not on the web, right?
Exactly.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Oh, yeah, no. So Pixie's it's a great question. Pixie's a self-contained software
tool. That's why they pay me the big bucks, David. Yeah. That's why they pay me the big bucks. They ask the top. I'm like Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes. I ask the top.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So Pixie's loaded just a desktop application. It's an app on the computer. We also make a program called Wixie, which is a web-based version of Pixie. So that's up in the cloud that people could access from anywhere.
So it's really on how
the district wants to be able to distribute the software.
I'm getting to be an old guy. I always say in the ether, but I got to start saying in the cloud.
In the cloud. Oh, I know.
I don't know why. Yeah, a couple of things pop into my mind as we're talking about this, and this is for elementary school kids. What grades would you say?
Pixie is primarily targeted at K through three, with a lot of extensions up through fifth grade. So it really is a solid tool for all elementary computers.
So a teacher could grab it in kindergarten and keep it with a kid through fifth grade.
Exactly. I mean, the idea is that the kids get started using the software, they learn it very quickly, and the software sort of just appears into the background. It's just a tool like a pencil or a pen or paper to be able to work with the curriculum and the contents what's important.
And now I have to ask you, I was leading up to something with the question, because I've been getting more and more conversations involved with pre-K kids. Okay. NAE. Are you familiar with, if I say the acronym NAEYC, are you familiar with that one?
No, I'm not.
Okay, that's a big and powerful association. That's the National Association for Educating Young Children.
Okay.
NAEYC. And it's really, as I do my radio shows, a hot topic these days. Because obviously me and 1,000 other kids were all geniuses before we got to kindergarten. Okay?
Right, absolutely.
And my point is that I know for a fact that the, I'll call them preschools, pre-K, are really getting involved in creativity for kids that we would think aren't ready for that, but in fact they are. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And have you folks moved your product, Pixie, into the pre-K market? Let me ask that.
It has moved itself into that market. We haven't actively pursued it, but it is used in a lot of pre-K classrooms. My son is in kindergarten right now. His school uses it in their pre-K classrooms. They have it in the classroom. They have it in the lab. They take the kids to the lab and be able to use it. So it's not something we've actively gone after. It is definitely a place where the software is being used.
Yeah, and you should I'm happy to facilitate introductions if you ever want to meet the folks from the association, because I believe that would be a very good market for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like it.
And I would love to do that. Point two, okay? We've been getting a lot of work. We had a show a couple of days ago, and we got another one coming up, all about gifted children.
Okay.
And the key word that kept coming out was creativity.
Right.
All right. That's when I talked about, you know, that's a sign that a kid is gifted. Okay. And now I go over to your website, techforlearning.com, and the word creativity is all over the place.
Exactly.
Okay. Even for Pixie, I'll just read this. Elementary students love using Pixie to create curriculum products. Pixie is exciting creativity software that students can use to share ideas, imagination, etc. So help me with, have you done anything with the gifted? Or
have
you had any feedback from the gifted?
Oh, yeah. We've worked with gifted and talented groups at school districts all over the place. One of the things Pixie is really great for is it addresses the needs of all learners. So you can use it with gifted and talented kids. You can use it in special needs classes very effectively.
Yes.
The software is open-ended, and like I said, it's a blank screen. And so the kids bring their ideas to it. So the difference in what they're bringing has to do with the difference in the curriculum content the kids are working with, how far they can take those ideas and that information. But the tool gives them that open-ended canvas to be able to share their ideas and create that content.
It's really, you have to walk me through for a second. Let's just say I'm a teacher, okay? Let's just say I'm a second grade teacher. I was a social studies teacher in high school, so I wasn't an elementary school teacher. But if I was, okay, and that's why I have to plead a little bit of ignorance. So I'm a second grade teacher, okay, and the school, whatever, my principal has gotten me Pixie, all right, Pixie 3, V3, all right, the third version of Pixie from Tech for Learning, okay? Okay, how do I start? What am I going to – give me an example. Walk me through something that you've seen. Maybe your kid, his class has done this. Tell me what they've created.
Right. Exactly. I mean, the classic starting point, if it's the beginning of the school year and you're working with young kids, is going to be some sort of all about me project. So it's a great way to get the kids introduced to the software tool.
Wait a minute, I still do that. Come on, give me a break. I still do all about me.
Introduced to the software tool in a really non-threatening manner, so they can come in, they can do an illustration of themselves and their family, they can do another page that's an illustration of the things that they like to do, they can record their voice talking about it. If you're working with kindergarten students at the beginning of the year, they're not going to be writing sentences with the text tool, but they can probably start writing their name, so they can type their name in, and then you can record their voice putting it all together. You've got then a video or a website that you can put up on your class school page for your school and then be able to share that with parents. And then one of the neat things is you can return at the end of the year. Of course, you can do projects all throughout the year, but then you can return at the end of the year, have the students do an update to the All About Me with the things that they've learned over the course of the year or new things that they're doing, where they're still going to be illustrating pictures. Now they're going to be typing in text with sentences. They're going to be reading those together. And now you've got this wonderful portfolio piece of a beginning of the school year project and an end of the school year project that the students can look at and go, you know, can hear for themselves the difference in their recording. You can see the difference in the sentences that they're writing, and you can have that to be able to demonstrate to the parents, you know, look at this, here's what your students accomplished, here's an example of what your students have accomplished and how they've grown over the course of the year.
It's really, really good stuff. Now, how do you measure? Because I know it's good. All right, and let me just reintroduce the beginning of the show for those who just joined us. We're talking to David Wagner, who's the president of Tech for Learning. That's Tech, the number four, Learning, Tech for Learning. And he was introduced to me by my friend Scott Elliott, who was the president of SEG Measurement. And SEG Measurement is one of the companies that helps to assess products out there and their effectiveness in the education field. And David, I don't know if you ever listened to any of our shows, but I'm always telling people how proud I am to be in this industry, because folks like you really do care that the products work and work well, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're always changing them to be able to try and make them better. But finding out whether they work well is always hard to do.
And exactly.
So, you know, we know the products are created based on, sound research on project-based learning. We know that the products are going out and trying to address skills that 21st century learners need, creativity, innovation, critical thinking, problem solving. But at the end of the day, what we've generally got is a lot of anecdotal evidence saying that kids are engaged in the classroom, kids really like to come and work on their projects, kids are doing better in school because of it, but we didn't have data to be able to demonstrate, does this actually work to improve achievement using the measures that schools are being tested against? And so
Exactly. That's
where Scott and SEG Measurement came in. So we basically worked with Scott to design a study that would look at kids in third, fourth, and fifth grade and how PIXI impacted their achievement on math and reading scores. And we
let me just get it straight, because you said this earlier. It's a K-3 product, but it has add-ons to take the kids and the teachers through fifth grade, right?
Exactly. So
Scott was measuring third, fourth, and fifth grade, and they all still had access to PIXI, right?
They all still had access to PIXI. Exactly.
Okay, cool.
We wanted to do the measurements starting at third grade once the tested grades are in. You can't. I don't know. I'm not a big believer in walking into kindergarten with a SAT 10 test and saying, okay, kids, let's go through this test.
They get that. Yeah.
Exactly. So we basically looked at the Stanford 10 test scores for third, fourth, and fifth graders. We also wanted to design a study that was sort of as broad as possible. So we brought in students from school districts in Georgia, in Texas, in Ohio, South Carolina, and California to be able to take part in the study.
Yep.
So that we had students in classrooms that were going to be using PIXI, as well as students in classrooms that weren't. We gathered all sorts of demographic data on the students. Scott can talk to about the math that went into making sure everything was all leveled out once they got the scores of the tests and stuff.
Yeah, I should actually say that's not my friend Scott, president of SEG. He's not here yet. I'm a little concerned because that something has happened or something. I hope that's not a problem.
Absolutely. I hadn't heard from him right before, so I don't know if anything's come up. So I can talk to the general results of the survey.
If we need to, we'll bring you back on like next week or something to talk about it further. Okay.
Okay, that would be fun.
But what the point I was going to – it is fun. I agree. You're a wonderful guest. And I have to say, when you just said about the mathematics and all that, so the person I call Scott Elliott is actually Dr. Scott Elliott, and he has his doctorate, I believe, in educational assessment. So he really knows what he's doing, So you broke down. You had a control group, right? You had a control group and a regular group, right?
Exactly. We had control and treatment groups. The control groups were not PIXI users, and the treatment group were going to be using PIXI over the course of the year. And they were using PIXI.
And every time the treatment group got something right, they got a cookie. Is that right?
Exactly. And so they were using PIXI about an hour to 2 hours every week over the course of the study. So it's not something that they were using, every day for an hour a day. The kids weren't sitting in front of the computers that long. It was something they were using just an hour or two over the course of this over a week over the course of the study. And so they did the pretest. Got gathered up all the data, all the information. They did the post-test at the end of the year. This was all in the 2010-2011 school year. So they did the post-test in May, June at the end of the year, and Scott spent the summer crunching numbers. And
he likes that.
You know,
don't let him complain. He likes that.
He likes that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he does. So it was one of those where I was actually, you know, I'd been, you know, waiting to hear, sending off emails going, Scott, you know, we'd really love to find out how this went. I was starting to get emails from all the teachers that participated. And,
by the way,
and
how many teachers did participate? That's really nice of them. Let's at least mention
there,
how
there
many.
Were about a thousand students, and so divided by
so
20
teachers.
To 30
no,
kids
I'm
per
just,
class,
I'm
so about
kidding,
we're talking about 60 teachers, yeah.
About 60. Okay, I said 6.
Yeah.
I was off. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a joke
so
because the schools are so overcrowded. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I was actually out at the pumpkin patch with my son on a Saturday morning when I got an email in from Scott saying that the results were in. And
pardon me for snorting on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, and basically saying that the results were in, and the sort of overarching headline was that the students who participated in the treatment group with Pixie had demonstrated an average of half a year's more growth than the students who were not using Pixie.
Wow.
So, yeah, so, I mean, that was we were expecting, obviously, just a few percentage points. What we were not expecting was an entire half a year's more growth. So needless to say, I quickly forwarded that email out to all the participants as quickly as I could with a congratulations, because we were all quite excited.
And that is wonderful. And let me just ask you, and we'll talk to Scott when we can about the math part of it and the real substance of it, but did the teachers, I know anecdotally you've heard this, but when you hear anecdotally from a teacher, what do you hear from them about Pixie? And that will help to establish even greater how important these numbers are. What's the usual word?
Basically, they say things like, you know, Pixie allows students to organize their thoughts in and present them in a fun and coherent manner. Or students,
I like that.
Exactly. Or students are engaged in the process because they're creating something and not just passively having it presented to them.
Students
are able to build presentations and then be able to present that to their peers or their family, and that engages them in what they're doing. And students get to really control their own learning and really focus on the learning styles and learning intelligences that they really have. And that also helps get the kids really engaged and focused on the content.
So the teachers like it. The math proved out that it's working, creating a half grade difference, okay, in achievement for the kids who use it, which is wonderful. What about the professional development in terms of using the product and then using the add-ons? I'm sure you guys are always putting new gizmos in there and that sort of stuff. What does a teacher need in order to really make it work well? How do you train them, et cetera?
Teachers really just need an open mind for what they can do. I mean, the teachers who are used to facilitating their classrooms and really sitting back and letting the students drive the content when they're working on the computers is the best. We provide professional development, but actually all of the districts that participated in this study are not ones that we've ever done on-site professional development with. So their professional development was able to be handled with their own on-site staffs. We provide online materials. We have all sorts of resources and lesson plans and other pieces, but we didn't have to go in and provide on-site training for any of these organizations.
Which I can now extrapolate from that this is a pretty good Pixie is pretty what's the word I'm looking for pretty easy to learn how to use and make effective.
Oh yeah, I mean the idea is you can launch Pixie and have an idea of what you can start doing with it within just a couple minutes.
The teachers must love it.
Yeah,
they must love it. We're going to have you back on, David. Okay, I'm going to arrange with Scott to have him come back on. I do want to talk about exactly how we performed the survey and all that sort of stuff. And you'd come back on, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Was it fun? Did you have a good time today?
Yeah, it was definitely fun. It was a great way to finish off my morning before lunch.
Now, wait a minute. You can't be like that. It's 3:00 here on the East Coast.
I know. That's the other advantage of being on the West Coast.
Well, the other advantage, I'm closer to the weekend than you are.
That is true.
There you go, you know? So at any rate, David, thank you very much. I'm going to make sure everybody has all your information. I'm going to archive this show on our site, which is education-talkradio.org. And I'm also going to send you and Scott an MP3 of it. But we're going to continue this conversation when we corral Scott onto the phone.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Larry.
My pleasure. Thank you for being with us. I appreciate the time and the information. Thank you, David.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. David Wagner, nice conversation. This is really interesting stuff. I love this sort of thing. Not only is this, and it's obviously great for K-12, K-5, okay, it's proven, and we're going to go over the math when we have Scott back on, but again, it's the Pixie software, version 3 now, of Tech for Learning, techforlearning.com, and it's tech, the number for learning.com, Tech for Learning, okay? And also, you probably go, I should give Scott's website too, which is segmeasurement.com. I am going to archive the show, as I just said, and put it on there. We're going to come back and then learn more about how the math is, because it's so important that everybody understands that companies like David put so much time and effort into making sure this works. And look at the results of the Pixie software, getting kids an extra half grade ahead. How wonderful. You know, you can't beat it. So thank you, David. It was great to have you here, and you'll be back. And I'm Larry Jacobs. You've listened to Education Talk Radio. It's November 11th. Excuse me, it's not November 11th. It's November 16th, 2011. And we'll be back tomorrow, just so you know, on November 17th, with a show with the National School of Public Relations Association, my good friend Rich Bagan. That'll be at 10 o'clock. And I'm hoping, I haven't heard back yet, but I'm hoping that the executive director of the National Association of Secondary School Principals joins us at 11 tomorrow. And if not, we'll reschedule that one too. So when I go over education-talkradio.org, that's our website. Thank you, David Wagner. Continue good luck. We'll bring you back on soon. This is Larry Jacobs, Education Talk Radio. Thank you for listening.